Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Gets a touch, but he helps out.
That is a man's jam. DeMarcus Cousins nearly brought down the backboard and rim.
You're now listening to the King's Court Podcast, presented by SatKingsNation.com.
Welcome to the King's Court Podcast. This is your host, Joe Morgan. Joining me, as always, Vince Miracle. Vince, how you doing today, brother?
Oh, you know, I'm getting ready for the NBA season. It's next week, Joe. It's on Tuesday.
No, it's not next week. Dude, it's now. I don't know. For those of you who don't know, me and Vince are actually drafting while we do this show. We've had a draft going on for the last 3 days with some pretty serious competition. So as we do this, at some point, if you hear an air horn, you're going to hear us doing some bickering about who's going to pick what. So, we're actually drafting as we do this because it's a super serious league. It's the Secret Squirrel League. So, Vince... just told me who he's going to pick next, but I have quite a while until my pick. With pick number 3 in a 16-man league, you get a lot of time to think in between picks.
and then if you're at the 16-man league and there's so many different people in different area codes in this very competitive 16-man league, and you happen to fall asleep, you draft guys in the fifth round like Jeremy Lin.
Okay.
That kind of sucks.
Yeah, for the fans out there. Okay, so we had like a 3-hour time limit for each pick. There's 16 picks. And you don't know if a guy's going to pick 3 seconds after it's his turn or he's not going to be online and it's going to go 3 hours. So you're checking it all the time. 24 hours a day, you're checking it. Well, I finally fell asleep. My mere mortal side caught up with me after being up for like a day and a half trying to do this. And my mortal side let me go to sleep in between picks. And I woke up to Jeremy Lin. I think he was my 6th-round pick, Vince. But either way, it was just one of those ridiculous things where you're like, there's no, that didn't happen. So I'm going to have to try to come back from that. But, I mean, hey, that's the same. You just got Al Jefferson. So, hey, you know, it happens to the best of us. when you got the kind of time frame we do on this. What's it been going on now? Three days? 3 days it's been going on?
Yeah, so we started the draft on Friday night, the beginning of draft weekend. I'm in a total of 5 different leagues. I have one league that's about to start their auction draft here in the next 10 minutes, so I'm definitely going to be drafting while doing the show. So whoever listened to the show that wanted to hear what's happening on this end, you're welcome.
You'll definitely hear him cussing if somebody outbids him for something. It'll be pretty funny. He's going to have – you'll hear like a little pause where I edit out the words that he uses.
Nah, we'll just make the noise. Beep, beep.
Yeah, I gotta go download that sound right now for this edit. No other time will you hear us do that, but man, oh man, when you get sniped on a draft, it's painful.
I think they're ready to hear some Sacramento Kings basketball talk, Joe. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about how this team shaped up through the offseason and what they look like. So let's go ahead and start. I mean, we'll just go position by position. It's the easiest way. So one that we were all worried about going into the offseason, what is your thoughts, feelings, hopes, dreams on the point guard situation in Sacramento, California?
Well, I mean, let's bring to the surface here something that we were unable to talk about because of the whole going daily, then something happened, and we're going to address that at the end of the show, and it's actually really big news. So stick with us until the very end of the show, and you'll hear why we are no longer daily. It's actually a very big and positive reason why. But Ty Lawson missing the flight to go and play in Kentucky against the Wizards. He has a nice firm talking to. It's a personal reason. And
read that how you will, as we all did. Read that however you think that, you know, because nobody will answer. So, yeah, go ahead and make your assumptions what that means.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you're looking at that situation. It looks like he's going to stay with the team. The Kings are going to continue to roll with him. I'm okay with the Kings point guard situation, to be perfectly honest with you. I think that Darren Collison, after his eight games, is going to be just fine. The thing that worries me is that through those eight games, only two of those games are at home. Like, that's what scares me the most about this, is that Ty Lawson's going to be the starter. Garrett Temple, I think he's shown that he can handle the point guard position through the preseason just fine. But six of these games are on the road, and that's a totally different environment. It's a hard way to start the season without your starting point guard. I think that's something that needs to be definitely a worrisome for all fans going into their games. But honestly, I mean, you're looking at this first week, and the only thing I'm thinking of about that point guard position is I can't wait to see Darren Collison as the starting point. You guys know, for those who have been following the show for a long time, I'm a huge Darren Collison fan. I think the way that he's going to fit in the system is going to be perfect. I think that having Ty Lawson as a backup is just fine, but I think Garrett Temple can manage just as well. I think this team becomes very versatile because of their three guards that they're going to be having right there. So, you know, I'm excited for the season at the point guard spot. I know there's a lot of question marks from other outlets and from, you know, the bigger markets that are looking at this team and saying, wow, Darren Collison is your point guard. And I've said it before, Darren Collison may not be the point guard that carries this team to the playoffs, carries this team to a championship. I'm not saying that at all, but he is a team that carries this team to the next level and what it needs to be. And I'm ready to see that happen this year with Dave Yeager as the head coach.
So what you didn't cover there, I mean, you hit it, but you didn't hit the flip side. Six of the eight first games for Ty are going to be on the road. So Ty Lawson's going to be fighting a huge uphill battle that whole time. And the only home games are, you know, San Antonio and Minnesota. So he's going to be on the road most of the time. And then San Antonio at home, that's going to be a tough game. But then when D.C. comes back, Darren Collison gets seven of his first eight at home. And that's a nice way to come back when you're having a no start, when you're starting with no games. And, you know, it'll be really nice. And the first game is the Pelicans. Then it's the Lakers. It's going to be nice. I mean, he's going to be able to come back and get kind of a softball pitch for his first eight games, I guess I could say. So I think that's going to work out really well for him.
I mean, let me ask you this, Joe, because I have my thoughts in it, but I want to hear from your side of it all. Do you think that there's still a good chance that Darren Collison, or that Ty Lawson, that once Darren Collison comes back, that they can still cut ties? Or do you think it just comes down to how well Ty Lawson plays?
I think it always comes down to that, man. I wish I could give you a better answer, but it always comes down to, can you play this game? People always overlook stuff when a winner is doing it. So if he plays and plays well and becomes the guy that the team needs, obviously there's a lot more rope and leash out there. If you're playing poorly, on the other hand, hey, bye, man. You know, there's a lot more basketball than there is, you know, what do you call it, empathy and things like that. Like, it's a lot more to do with, hey, if he's getting the numbers, if he's playing right, if he's winning with the team, he's staying. And if he's not winning, that's when I would be more leaning towards them looking at a different option.
Yeah, for me, I'm looking at the team, and I'm looking at Ty Lawson there. I think, honestly, Ty Lawson, through those first eight games, until Darren Collison comes back, is playing for his Sacramento Kings career. I mean, honestly, I think that if there's a chance that Garrett Temple outshines him and he is just underperforming as the team starting point guard or even off the bench, I mean, they haven't definitively said that Ty Lawson is starting, but I mean, that's just the growing assumption. If he doesn't play well in those eight games, I don't see why there's any reason to hold on to him if he's just not a good fit. I mean, if he's missing trips, I mean, there's already a bad taste in your mouth right now. So I truly believe that these eight games are going to be a show me what you got left. Show me we're not making this a bad decision. Because what do the Kings have left to do with him? I mean, if he doesn't play well, he's on an unguaranteed contract. So letting him go is just a wipe of the hands. You know what I mean? And that's from the business side. I mean, personal reasons, I mean, that's different. Like, if you're looking at him as a person, yeah. But I mean, as the business side, if he's not performing and you're taking the risk on him and he's playing bad, why not let him go? If Garrett Temple is outshining you, Garrett Temple is going to be playing 1, 2, and 3 all season long. Guarantee it. So if you're seeing that, why have Ty Lawson? There's other options out there still. I mean, Mario Chalmers is still out in the market. Norris Cole is out in the market. Beno Udrih, a former Sacramento King, has just been waived. He's now out in the market. I mean, there's different players out there that could potentially run this system a little bit better than Ty Lawson could if he doesn't perform correctly. I'm not assuming that's going to happen. All I'm saying is this is a tough challenge for Ty Lawson. These are six games on the road with a team that's trying to show that they're not a joke in the NBA. And that he is, and he's also trying to prove that there, you guys are judging me the wrong way. I had a hiccup during the preseason, had a hiccup, it's fine. I'm still the guy I'm telling you I am, which is someone who is, you know, being overblown. The perception on me is wrong. He's going to be proving that because now there's a bad taste in our mouths from what just happened. And you gave, but again, it was for personal reasons. So
No, and one of the things I will say is I've been having a hard time doing any convicting on him until I know for sure what happened. I hate convicting a guy when we aren't 100% sure what's going on. Same time, you know, history of what his history is, and you can draw your own conclusions, I'll say. And most of us have. And, you know, again, I hope that that's not what the case is. Obviously, Dave Yeager seems comfortable with it. Vlade Divac seems comfortable with it. So whatever happened, hopefully it's water under the bridge. Hopefully he plays well. But if he doesn't, again, he's not guaranteed, and he can go bye-bye. It doesn't take much. It takes 1 minute where Vlade doesn't like what he sees, and he sends him packing. So talk about a short leash.
Just on Vlade. I'm not even saying about even just Vlade. I mean, what if Yeager doesn't like you? I mean,
no, exactly.
The one thing I will say, though, is that Yeager, for what happened, and no one knows what really happened. It was just a personal reason, and we'll say it like that because that's what we actually know, right? At least you have a coach that's willing to stare and say, yeah, everything's fine. He's going to be there. And yeah, he has to say. I mean, what's he going to say? He's going to say the opposite. And you know what I mean? I think that this Kings team is really trying to show that they're ready to handle what's ever coming, but they just need to get to the season. And they need Darren Collison to get there. I mean, I honestly feel like, and I know we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but the X factor for this team is going to be Darren Collison 100%. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But we spent, 6 minutes here on the point guards?
Yeah, at least,
I think we can go on to the next one. I'm just saying, I'm going to finish off by just saying it again. Ty Lawson, for these first eight games, I think is showing how long he'll be staying in Sacramento.
Definitely. All right, let's move on. The two, the shooting guard. What are you thinking about how that shook out?
I've been surprised by Aaron Aflalo, man.
Pleasantly surprised. Go ahead and throw that out there. Pleasantly surprised.
I've been pleasantly surprised by Aaron Aflalo, to be perfectly honest with you. Like, you guys know, you Joe, especially you know, I was not happy with that signing at all. I was like, oh, man, he's 3 years past his prime. He's a mid-range shooter. He's taking bad shots. But in this system, he works. I mean, he that low post set, when you have DeMarcus Cousins at the top of the key, like right above the free throw line, and you have Rudy Gay on one hand and Aaron Aflalo in the other, who with those two guys posting, if nothing's there, they switch it up and DeMarcus Cousins says, all right, my turn to eat. Like, you know what I mean? It's that.
No, there's weapons
works.
In every corner. And that's something that has been missing for a long time from Sacramento, is having a weapon that you can actually dish to. And, you were talking about him not being the best. You know, he's a mid-range guy. He's this, he's that. You know, hey, it's working. And
he's expanding. The thing that I will say, though, is he's still showing, you know, problems defensively. I think what you can say is that you can see that he is engaged in each game. But he's still a step slower than anybody else that he's been guarding, even the Maccabi Haifa game. I honestly think that you're going to see him play three a lot this season as well. He just has a bigger body. I think his game is better for the three spot when they want to go small.
Well, they've talked about going small a lot. So you put somebody like Barnes at the four, Gay at the four, and then you put Aflalo at the three. It could be a very interesting set.
Yeah, I think if we move on to the next player, I think Aflalo is getting, you know, I don't think any of the shooting guards are averaging 30 minutes a game. I'll just say that. I don't think any of them are getting to that point at all, unless someone's playing extremely well. So I think you look at the next spot over, and that's Ben McLemore. And, Joe, before I give my thoughts, let's hear yours. What have your thoughts been on Ben McLemore throughout the season?
Well, a lot of people feel like they're the only person left on Ben McLemore Island, and even I had left it a little bit where I just thought, well, he's going to move on. He's going to go to another team and get another shot. And I'd like to see – put it this way. I would like to see what Jaeger can do by midway in this year before they move him. I like that he seems to be able to be moldable by a coach like Jaeger, and I want to see how that works out. So it's hard to give judgment on what has been what now, a month and a half, 2 months of actual hands-on with Coach Jaeger. It's not like they've had a lot of time together, you know, but he seems to have worked in the offseason. I'm, again – really looking forward to see how it works out one more month down the road, 2 more months down the road, how his defense changes, and if he can become one of those 3-and-D guys, that what the role – you guys have in the past said he could be the J.R. Smith or something to the effect. And if he can do that, you know, keep him around. So that would be my short answer.
Yeah, I think I'm probably one of the few actually that think Ben McLemore did not have that great of a preseason. To be honest, I mean, you hear, oh, he's being super aggressive. He's at least taking the shots. I mean, you and John just said that like 2 weeks ago, and John was like, at least he's taking the shots. That's what you want. And like, yeah, and I stated in that same podcast, like, maybe that's what the offense is wanting him to do, is like, every time you see the basketball, shoot it. You need to start gaining confidence. And maybe that's what he was trying to do this preseason. But you even look at the Maccabi Haifa game where he actually played well. Right? Where people were like, oh, he played good. He really didn't play that good. He had a bad first quarter. He had an okay second quarter. He was really bad in the third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, they had him out there against these guys, and he was the star of the show because, well, I mean, he's Ben McLemore, and these guys are Maccabi Haifa. I mean, no shots to them. It was a fun game to be there. It was fun to see the Kings get a win in Golden 1 Center. But, I mean, the talent difference is there, obviously. So, I don't know. I have stock in you know, McLemore Island. I've sold all my stock on Dion Waiters Island. I've sold that a long time ago. So at least I have stock in Ben McLemore. I think Ben McLemore still has the skill set to become a 3-and-D guy. I honestly feel he can be that. But, man, even against the Clippers, he showed just problems against J.J. Redick, against Jamal Crawford and J.J. Redick give him work every single time they play. Every single time they play the dang Clippers, Ben McLemore is a ghost of himself. And you can say that entirely about his entire career so far, but he has been a ghost of himself in those games. So, you know, I think he's had a bad preseason, but I also think as well, like we were talking about Ty Lawson, I think Ben McLemore – could be a guy that they give heavy minutes to in the beginning of the season to showcase who he is. I think that's another reason why, and I can't wait till we get the power forward spot because, you know, we're hearing and you, James Hand and Aaron brought it up on their show as well that they've been hearing it as well too. Like you see it on Twitter that the Kings are probably going to start Kosta Koufos. And there's a drawing idea that I have in my head that we'll get to at some point. I think you guys are going to start piecing it together. But as for Ben McLemore's preseason, I just think it's been bad. And I think you're going to see Garrett Temple play minutes above him as well if he does not start, you know, playing strong in the minutes that he's getting.
Well, let's go ahead and move on. Let's talk about the small forwards. There are a lot of them. So kick that off. Obviously, Mr. Rudy Gay leads that list. So, How do you feel about Rudy coming into this season with all the craziness that's been going on, whether his agent's leaking it, whether somebody else is doing it, I don't know, but what are your thoughts there?
You know, I mean, Rudy Gay is going to be Rudy Gay. I think you're seeing the assist numbers go up. I honestly feel like he's a great fit in this system with this team next to DeMarcus Cousins. It's just unfortunate that, you know, it's inevitable to the fact that the Kings are most likely going to move him. I guess it's not inevitable, but it's everything but inevitable. You know what I mean? It's going to happen at some point. We just don't know when. But at the same time, if they can't find the right deal, they won't do it. It's very confusing with Rudy Gay. and the talk was, I think there's three trades that have keep popping up around his name. The Goran Dragic one.
No.
You know, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Plus, it just didn't make any sense for the Kings to get a guy who's 30 years old, whose contract is worth, I believe, like $65 million with Goran Dragic, and he's 30 years old. I mean, this guy's getting paid. And then you have Rudy Gay going there, and I don't know why they would want him with Justice Winslow developing. I mean, maybe for the stretch four reasons. So that didn't really make too much sense. Then you look at the Cameron Payne one. That one's interesting to me because I don't think it's a straight-up trade at all. I mean, you're going to get another asset back. Man, is it bad for me to hope that it's Andre Roberson?
I would be actually very interested in that. I was kind of wondering what the secondary asset would be too, whether it's a, you know, a future pick, whether it's something else. I just, you know, I can't find that information anywhere. Nobody's leaking that out yet. So obviously I've had my nose
it's
down
just,
on it, but
it's just the only thing that came out is that the Kings were interested in doing a trade that would involve Cameron Payne. But that just that them saying that makes you know that there's another asset that was going to be attached to it. What it was, we'll never know unless a deal is done. But if the Kings can snag away Andre Roberson, that would be a steal. It's not going to happen though. The OKC.
Yeah, don't get me. Don't get me all
high on Andre Roberson.
What are they calling that show? Don't get me roster baiting on the Kings. You know, like don't get me all excited about the roster, because if Roberson came to the Sacramento Kings, I think
he
would be
fit.
What's
He'd
that?
He'd be the Doug Christie. He'd be the Doug.
Well, exactly. He would be a fit that was just you couldn't have produced a human being that would fit better like that. So I think that would be it's almost too much. It's too much to hope for good things. We're in Sacramento. We're in Sacramento. Don't forget it.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's that one. And then I think the Ricky Rubio one is something that still I think could potentially get done. My question is like, why are the Wolves stopping it? I know there's, like, a lot of talk of, like, oh, they don't know if Chris Dunn's ready to take over the team. But, honestly, if you bring Rudy Gay to Minnesota, you have – Zach LaVine, who will run the point, and have Chris Dunn come off the bench. Don't make him the starter. That's easy. Then you have Tyrus Jones backing him up. That's a nice player for quick points. So I think you start Zach LaVine. You have Wiggins move to the two, which he's just fine with doing because he had Tyshawn Prince there at three a year ago or maybe 2 years ago. So he's used to playing the two spot. You have Rudy Gay at the three, then Gorgui Dieng and Karl-Anthony Towns. I mean, why would not the Wolves want to do that? And I think maybe they're just not fully sold on Chris Dunn yet. Maybe that's it, but maybe the Kings are asking for a little too much back. Like, are they asking for a guy like Bielitsa? Are they asking for a center? What are they looking to combine things with? So there's questions there. I would be intrigued by that deal because I also think Ricky Rubio would be a good fit in this system. I'm not a huge fan of Rubio. He can't shoot the basketball. Everyone knows my stance on Ricky Rubio. If you listen to the show for a while, but in this system and how we've seen it being run, I actually think he'd be a good fit in Sacramento. But as for Rudy Gay with the Sacramento Kings, I think you know what you're getting with Rudy Gay. I think you're going to see the assist numbers move up. And I don't think the Kings are going to limit his minutes at all because I don't think his value changes because everyone knows who Rudy Gay is. He's I believe, turning 30 already this year. He's turning 30 years old, or he is 30 years old. He's a scoring punch. You know, his defense is there. He's not like the greatest defender, but I mean, he's a good defender. I wouldn't hate on his defense at all. I mean, unless he's not engaged and he's kind of a little lackluster. But Rudy Gay is a strong player there. So if you move on from Rudy Gay, you're looking at guys like Omri Caspi, Matt Barnes, and again, Garrett Temple is going to be there. I think those are guys that can fill in. I think you'll see Ben McLemore slide down there. I think you're going to see Aaron Aflalo slide down there. But really, my question mark with this team and how it's being ran so far and after a bad preseason, it was with Omri Caspi. And you asked me, Joe, who do I think is going to have a bad year? Not necessarily a bad year, but a down year.
I think down minutes, not so much as a down year. His percentage will stay the same. His shooting will stay the same.
No.
No? I disagree with you. I think his minutes are the only thing that's going to go down.
No, I think his minutes might actually stay the exact same. That's fine. I just think that the way they're using him has been incorrect. Now, maybe it's just preseason. They're trying different things. But from what we've seen, they're using him the completely wrong way. And it's just not working for Omri Caspi. He's better as a cutter, but we're not that many cuts. We're seeing that the high post offense allows cutting and allows that system to work for him to have that spot up shooting and to cut to the basket, which he's good at. But what was he so great at last season? It was getting the ball on the run in a fast break down the court and doing a layup. It would be getting the ball in the corner for the corner three or the wing three and then driving it down and doing that awkward floater that seemed to always go in. Omri Caspi was good at that. Now they're having the wings post. Now they're having the wings set the screen. Now, and it's not working for him because, I mean, they did it so many times. Even the Maccabi Haifa game throughout the preseason, they kept trying to post Omri Caspi, and it does not work. He needs more meat on those bones, or there's no way that that's going to happen. He's just too skinny. I mean, maybe he can get it against a smaller defender, but he's a knockdown shooter. I think he needs to be on the floor because of his shooting and because he can run the floor and because he's that glue guy on the floor. I think he'll see the minutes. I think he's a smart basketball player, but I think he will have a down year for this team, at least, and that's from what we've seen from the preseason.
Now, what are your thoughts on Barnes? I'm interested to see where they play him. How much time at the four? How much time at the three? Where he's seated at different spots? You know, where's he going to get his time to eat? I guess where's he sitting at the table? Because it looks like he's going to be getting some serious minutes.
Yeah, no, Barnes is going to play. You know, DeMarcus Cousins talked about how much he wanted him on his team. Dave Yeager's bringing him in from Memphis from his time there. He plays defense. He can still shoot the three-point shot. I mean, he's going to see minutes. And, you know, I don't think you can be mad at it for it. So, yeah, I don't have too many thoughts on a guy like Matt Barnes just because I think everyone knows what you're going to get with Matt Barnes. You're going to get the guy that's going to cause an issue for the other team. He's going to get in their head. I think you might see Matt Barnes in crucial moments of the game. That's what I'll say about Matt Barnes.
I think Matt Barnes will be in at crucial moments because he can take the tech away from Boogie.
No, honestly, I think he'll be in the game because for when the intensity is there and you need the other team to have someone that's in there, like the Draymond Green type player.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say Matt Barnes wouldn't take two jumping kicks to his genitals before it went a little out of hand.
No, but I think you brought up a good point by saying he would take the technicals away from DeMarcus. I think that Matt Barnes is going to be the guy that sticks up for his teammates because that's what he's known to do. But he's also known to put his teammates on blast through Twitter when he was with the Clippers, and people are and he's doing stuff for his teammates, and they're not, you know, reciprocating it back in any way. So I actually think Matt Barnes will be in there in crucial moments of the game for defense, for a three-point shot. I think he's a good fit for this team as well. I think he fits the image of what this team is trying to show, that they're gritty, they're ready to work hard, they're ready to play defense, they're ready to change the culture of the Sacramento Kings team. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do with the Kings this season.
Man, speaking of Matt Barnes, he just came off the board in our league, and that was my next pick. Oh, boy, that's rough. I'm not enjoying watching this draft in the background as we do this because it's just breaking my heart over and over. I had three guys in my queue and all three of them just got picked out like in a row. So,
good news is it wasn't an auto pick, so at least somebody actually picked them.
Yeah, at least they actually knew what they were getting because some of the auto picks. Realize when I say that they're being picked, understand that, you know, we're at pick like 195 right now, 196, somewhere in that area. Well, now that I've talked about our draft for a second, let's move on to power forwards. Obviously, we know what's going on there, but let's hear your views first.
I want Scal Labissiere to make the roster. I think he's going to. I just don't think he's going to see minutes. This team is going to be versatile this season. You're going to see small ball. The thing that's going to draw the interest, though, is that, again, the team is talking about starting Kosta Koufos next to DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, maybe it's smart, but we talked about it with Ben. We talked about it with Rudy. We talked about it. Now we're going to be talking about it with Kosta. And we talked about it with Lawson. That's who I was trying to think of. They might be showcasing Kosta Koufos because think of that package. Kosta Koufos, very nice contract, solid big man off your bench. Can start it. He can do spot starts for you. He never really hurts you when he's on the floor. That's a guy that people would want on their team. Look at a guy like Mozgov going for so much money. There's a reason why he becomes valuable. Then you have Ben McLemore. He shows that he can play. The Kings, I think, are going to continue rolling with him. But if he continues to struggle and they're really just looking at him and he shows spots of where he can have potential, I mean, I think that that's all they really – they want him to sparkle. You know what I mean? They just need to see a little gem in there so they can show that to somebody else. And I think that's what they're going to be looking with him, so they can package that with a guy like Rudy Gay who's on a one-and-done contract. So I think that's kind of what you're going to be seeing from it, and that's just a personal opinion. But, I mean, at the same time, you're looking at it, Willie Cauley-Stein coming off the bench isn't really that bad of an idea either. I just think that Kosta Koufos would have fit the bench a bit better, and John brought this up in that show that I was talking about earlier, that Kosta Koufos is probably the offensive punch they needed for a low-post guy because Willie Cauley-Stein is not much of a low-post player at all. We've seen that through the preseason as well. He's a little too small. I think the game's coming back to him. He had a good game against the Lakers, good game against the Wizards, you know, and a good game against Maccabi Haifa. So he's starting to build it up a little bit. I'm ready to see what happens with Willie Cauley-Stein in the Kosta Koufos situation. But at the same time, we talked about versatility of this team. Anthony Tolliver's there. Omer Caspi can play. Matt Barnes, Rudy Gay. There's so many different players that they can rotate in and out of that spot. And I honestly think because of the way the league is turning, you may see a lot more small ball. But I mean, you're looking at some of these games, the Spurs, Kostakouvas makes actually a good sense with LaMarcus Aldridge. Willie Cauley-Stein makes actually a good sense next to DeMarcus Cousins because of LaMarcus Aldridge and Pau Gasol. Pau Gasol gets matched up with DeMarcus Cousins. I think Willie Cauley-Stein's a great matchup against LaMarcus Aldridge. Then you go to the next game, Phoenix. Do they start Tyson Chandler and Alex Len next to each other? Then maybe you bring in a guy like Kostakouvas. I think you're going to see it jump back and forth, and then you can bring in the smaller guys against teams like the Golden State Warriors and things like that. So I think that's probably the most versatile spot on the whole entire roster is what they can do at the power forward spot.
Well, we've covered the whole roster. What are your thoughts about the team as a whole this year? Anything change other than the coaching? Anything that you'd like to hit before we move on?
Yeah, I think I'm going to just hit on the X factor. And I think you can look at two. I think, Joe, you'll probably take the other one. If not, I'll say it later. But Darren Collison is one of them for me. I think Darren Collison is going to be the key that starts the engine for this team. DeMarcus Cousins is going to be the guy that runs this car. But Darren Collison is that key, I think. I think he's going to be the guy that initiates a lot of the offense. But he commands the team so well when he's on the floor. He's not afraid to say, Boogie, back off. Costa, go away. Come back up here. You set that. You can see it whether you're on TV or you're there at the game. Darren Collison commands the floor, and that's something that you want from your point guard. So that's why I'm very high on him this season, and I'm very high on him in fantasy. So hopefully I get him in this draft I'm about to start in the next 10 minutes. But that's one of my X factors for the team is that Darren Collison, he's defense, he's three-pointers, and I think he's also the guy, along with the rest of the starters, the projected starters that are going to be there, are going to help change the culture of this team. And so I think that he's going to be one of my big X factors. Who do you have as an X factor, Joe?
Well, I'll kind of go down the list here and say, Darren, you already hit, and the reason that I wouldn't agree with that is I think we already know what we get out of Darren. I think we already see what he's going to do, and other than the 8-game suspension, I think he comes back in and plays really well. Now, DeMarcus, obviously, he carries the team on his back. There's no question he's not going to do anything bad. Rudy, playing for a contract, I think is going to be easy to – he would be an easy person to jump on and say he's the X factor, but I just don't buy it. I think for a contract year, he's going to do really well. Costa, you already hit on and said, you know, he's not going to hurt you out on the floor. So I think the shooting guard spot with Aaron Aflalo is going to be the absolute X factor this year in how many games this team wins, how many games the Kings win, because – depending on how Aaron Aflalo plays, again, you know what you're getting out of Rudy Gay. You know what you're getting out of DeMarcus Cousins. We can debate whether or not we know what we're getting out of Darren Collison, but I'm fairly certain that it's not going to be a painful thing. It's not going to be a negative impact. And Kostakouvas is not a negative impact. So Aaron Aflalo is the only spot on this roster where I see the majority of the question, the majority of if he plays really well, they have a much better chance at winning. And I see that as also at the same time, if he's not guarding very well, if he lets a guy go off on him, it could turn out really poorly. So was that the other spot you were looking at?
No, actually, I mean, I didn't really even think of Kostakouvas, to be honest, as like the X factor for the team, just because, like I said, I think he has the potential chance of being just showcased for a pairing with, you know, Rudy Gay or Ben McLemore in a deal. What the other person I had, I think it's an obvious one for real, is the head coach.
Okay.
Dave Yeager. He's an
I was only looking at players, but yeah, if that's an option, then Yeager probably should even go before Collison, because Dave Yeager and how he coaches this team compared to how it was coached last year.
I just didn't say Yeager just because it was the most obvious one. But that's the thing, is like, that's why I said Darren Collison first. But like with what Yeager is doing, I think he's coming in there and doing, and we always say the Michael Malone approach, but that's exactly what it is. Like, he's being the real coach. He's coming in there being honest with the guys. He's getting on the guys. He's saying, this is my system. Let's run it. And they're buying into it. And the fact that you hear the beat reporters there every single night, every single day, talking to these guys, coming out with and you get to see the videos on Facebook when you see the interviews and things like that. But when you get to see and hear that the players are loving the way that this system is ran, like, this is the way they play basketball, and you're hearing that this is what's coming out of camp, you have nothing but to say good job to the head coach. That's what you want to hear with the Kings' new head coach. Because what did we hear last year? Oh, is there beef? Oh, what are they running? Oh, they're doing bringing down the shot clock. Oh, it's you know, they got to work on their conditioning. No, like, this is the way they've played basketball. They know that you have Rudy Gay, been there before. Matt Barnes, been there before. Kosta Kuvis, played for him before. I mean, you have experience on your team. Anthony Tolliver, award winner for best teammate. Garrett Temple, award winner for best teammate. He Vlade Divac, Kent Caccianella, that whole Sacramento Kings regime right now, they're trying to change the culture, and I think they've done it with the people that they've put together. And I think it starts because of what Dave Joerger is trying to do with this team. He's trying to build a team that fits his system, and he's getting the assistance from a guy like Vlade Divac, from a guy like Kent Caccianella, and that whole entire front office. So I think you have to look at Dave Joerger as the true X factor, but I think you also just have to look at him as the rock that keeps everything in place. So I'm so excited to see the Sacramento Kings season.
Do you know why I would agree with you more than even usual? Is when he did have the questions about Ty Lawson's problem and he got frustrated, he just walked away. He just left the press. Okay, I'm done. I'm done talking to you guys now. And that seems like a pissy thing to do, but if you're the teammates sitting in the locker room and you know your coach is behind you like that, that's a huge deal. And I really, really love that it does seem like a closed-door family where the guys inside know what's going on and everybody else doesn't. And that gets a lot of respect out of players. And you got a good plan and you have respect, you're going to go a long way. And I really see this I see this year going a lot higher than the 30.5 that Vegas hasn't pointed at.
So you brought that up. Let's get to it. Let's get to the thing that everyone is waiting for, Joe. What is your projection?
Oh, no, my friend. Kings? You're going first. No. I want to hear yours because you ain't stealing mine this year.
No. I started it. You have to go. You don't change the flow of the show. If I ask you a question, you answer this, Joe. What is your win projection for the Sacramento Kings?
Know your role there, Vince. All right, I'll go first. That's all right. I have confidence in my number. And, you know, like a lot of the other guys, I'm going to say, you know, there's like a 4 or 5-game swing here because of all the things that can happen, because it is the Kings and it's hard to be confident. But let's just stamp it solid at 37.
37 wins?
I would go as high as 40, but with what happened with Ty just the other day, and with there's just been a few things that have kind of shaken my confidence. I wanted to say 40 the other day on the air, and just over this weekend, it kind of eroded me down. Eroded. And now I'm saying 37, but I wouldn't be shocked with 42. I wouldn't be shocked with an even season. I wouldn't be shocked with, you know, a good 40. But I'm going to say 37 because after jumping in the river last year, I'm not going high again.
I have a total of 39 wins.
Outstanding. That's the first time in the history of this show. Mark the time. 9:23 on the 23rd of October, the year of our Lord, 2016. Vince was more positive than Joe. I'm going to go ahead and have to have a plaque made. We're going to have to have some trumpets play later. That's crazy. He went with 39. Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna say you have to give me an over under on three wins and losses, but yeah, I'm gonna go with 39 wins, and I think it's a little bit more optimistic than a lot of people thought I was gonna do, because I know when I first did it and I saw the roster of Aaron Aflalo and some of these guys that they brought to the team, I was like, really, this is what you guys are gonna do? But
I want to go back to my 40s so that I'm above you, because I like being the optimistic one here. Are we gonna have to switch roles? Do I gotta be negative now?
No, definitely not. And I don't ever think I'm negative. I think I'm just realistic. And I think that's what I do. But I think what we can do here, Joe, is set the bar again. We can do it again if you like. Do you want to make the playoff bet like we did last year?
Man, I'm looking at the West right now, and I think it's going to take 40 wins to make it. I don't – who's lost this year? Who went down this year?
I think Houston's went down. I think
out of the playoffs down.
I think they went down to the point to where you could say they are no defensive team at all, and I don't really like their team. Sorry, I am on the clock, and I did not know, and my player is available, so that's nice. So let me pick up Dwight Powell with my pick.
You didn't have the horn on? See, my horn's on. I'm still waiting on my horn to go off.
No, I turned the horn off for the podcast because I'm a gentleman for my podcast.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, I love you guys. I do. But I need this team to win because this is about bragging rights. And to me, that's you know, on the top of the list of important things. Yeah, there's some money involved, but who cares about that? This is about a whole year where I get to laugh in their faces, and you can't buy that.
Yeah. So when Joe loses, back to the topic at hand. I think the Houston Rockets went down. I think they're not a defensive team at all, especially Patrick Beverley now being out for a while. That makes it a huge question mark for their defense. I think Memphis has gone down. I mean, they added Chandler Parsons, but, I mean, when is he going to be able to play is a question mark. I mean, there's – who else has gone down? I think has gone down a little bit. I think those two spots have definitely gone down. I think Minnesota has gone up. I think that because of this preseason, I've thrown Phoenix behind. I think New Orleans is a injury away from Anthony Davis. They're just injury-prone players on that team. Jrue Holiday's out. Tyreke Evans is out for unknown amount of time. So I think there's a lot of chances for the Kings to still potentially make the playoffs. It just depends on who's getting out. I think they honestly have a chance to make it, but I'm not going to say that they will. I'm not. I think you need to wait at least two more years until the Kings are a playoff team.
I don't know about two. I'd like to see what shapes up here next year, but at the same time, I'm not willing to say yes, but I also wouldn't be absolutely blown away if they did make that 8 seed. I wouldn't be shocked either way, but I think they're going to come in the 9 or the 10.
So, I'm going to ask you again because you didn't really answer the question. Do you want to make the bet about the playoffs?
Man, I'm tempted. You know, I don't, but after talking to three separate players, and all three of them told me that they're a playoff team. All three of them. Oh, man. What would you like
you
to bet this
the
year?
Bet,
let's
Joe.
Find out what you want to bet first, and then I'll decide whether or not it's happening.
It's the river bet.
The river bet again? Okay.
It's always right. Going to be the river bet, because you need to continue being baptized in that water.
Until I lose all faith?
Exactly. Or, you know, I'll be in the water, so, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, after the epic floods last year, it couldn't get any worse. So, sure, I'll make the bet with you again. What's the problem? I mean, what's the worst that could happen? I have faith. I'm going to actually up my number. We're going to win 40 games.
You can't up the number.
Hey, why not? If I'm going to say they're going to make the playoffs, if I'm going to bet with you, how can I say that you have less wins than I do? So I'm going to say they have 40.
Say 45 wins, then be a man.
No, I'm not going to 45.
Say 45 wins. Just be a man.
Don't try to goad me.
All right, guys. Well, you have it there. You have it there, guys. It is – the bet is back on. Will the Kings make the playoffs, or will Joe be jumping back into the Sacramento River? And if you guys haven't seen that yet, go on YouTube and look up Sac Sports Nation on YouTube, and it's right there on the YouTube channel of Joe walking in there freezing cold and his son laughing at him as well as myself on the other side. Joe, you know what this time is. It's time for us to pause the show to give a shout out to our sponsor. Everyone go to BrickHouseIndustries.com. Check out all of their apparel from hats, shirts, and socks. And when checking out, be sure to use promo code KingsCourt, and you will get a 10% discount on any of your purchases. With that out of the way, Joe, it's time for us to hop in the DeLorean, go back to the future, and give the people our predictions. That's right, guys. It's back. It's Kings Week time.
Give the people what they want.
Back to the future.
And here we go.
All right, Joe, it's that time again. We have Sacramento Kings basketball. I'm so excited for this right now. Unfortunately, though, this very first game is on the road. The Kings will be tested against the Phoenix Suns. You have Eric Bledsoe, Brandon Knight, Devin Booker, TJ Warren, Alex Len, Tyson Chandler. I'm not going to run down the entire roster, but they have young assets on this team that I think are going to be a fun team to watch throughout the entire year. They went 4-2 throughout the preseason to the Kings 3-3. They're finally healthy, Joe. All right, Joe, what are some of your keys to the game in this one?
The keys to the game in Phoenix, opening night 2016-2017. Man, I'm trying to like hold it together and not get the goosebumps. It's basketball season again, Vince. Did you know that it's basketball season again?
Oh, I know. It's basketball season. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting.
All right.
And it's finally back.
Keys to the game. Keys to the game. Well, keys to the game number one, Ty Lawson. How is he going to play? Again, we've seen a couple different versions. We've seen a couple different problems. We've seen a couple different things. Ty Lawson, how do you come out? How do you start it? Are you going to start this Kings season just kicking butt and taking names? Are you going to start out just running this team? And obviously, as always, the keys to the game include DeMarcus and how well he can just absolutely own people. Kosta, you were talking about it before, and with the bigger lineup that Phoenix is going to run out there, I think Kosta is going to start. And so it will be the Lawson, Aflalo, Gay, Cousins, and Kufis lineup almost assuredly. And with that happening, of course, the next question is, who's the second guy in? Is it going to be Temple? Is it going to be Farmar?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think Farmar is going to be getting any minutes. I don't even know if he's making the team. I think it's definitely going to be Temple. I think my keys to the game on this one is going to be, you know, stop the penetration. I think that's what you're going to see from a lot of these guys. Like Eric Bledsoe is going to continue to drive to the cup and get up in there and try and, you know, break down the defense to open the look for guys like T.J. Warren or even a guy like Devin Booker. So I think that that's something that you definitely want to watch out for when you're looking in this game. I also think that the matchup of this game, and John, I'm going to throw this one over to you as well. I think the matchup of this game is going to be Ben McLemore against Devin Booker. I'm not putting Aaron Aflalo in that because I think Devin Booker is going to give him work. I think that you're going to see a great matchup between Devin Booker and Ben McLemore. I think that's the matchup you have to watch in this game.
Mine would definitely have to be DeMarcus against Tyson Chandler. I think DeMarcus, obviously, best big man in the league. We've said it 1,000 times. He's going to own the guy. But who around him is going to get the, you know, you talked about his assists because he is starting from the high post. He is able to facilitate those three-point shooters around the side. How is that going to be stopped? How are they going to try to stop that? And how many times is DeMarcus just going to get to be able to run him over? Just run him over straight to the hoop. So we'll see how that plays out. All right, bro. We know the keys to the game. Now, who is your FanDuel play of the night?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Garrett Temple. I think Garrett Temple's going to see minutes. I think people are going to be wowed with what he can do when the games are actually being played now for actually meaningful games. He's going to be a great defender on a guy like Devin Booker. I think he's going to be a good defender on a guy like Eric Bledsoe, being able to stick with him, at least guide him to a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein, DeMarcus Cousins. He's only going to be a value play, so probably around $4,000 in your guys' FanDuel leagues. So I definitely think that he's someone that you want to have on your team for FanDuel.
You know, mine, I'm going to go with Rudy Gay. I like him as the second scorer for the team. And on a night like Wednesday, when Darren Collison's out and it's just going to be him and Cousins bearing the main majority of the offense, I think Rudy's going to have to step up and really put it down. And he's not going to be nearly as expensive as Cousins, but he might have the same kind of night. So I think you got a good ceiling there.
All right, Joe, let's answer the question that everyone's wondering. Who do you got winning this one?
You know, as the opening night of the brand new season, I have to go with the Sacramento Kings over the Phoenix Suns because I think the next night's going to be a little rougher.
Yeah, I got the Kings winning this one as well. I think that this is the game that you're going to see Rudy Gay show off what he can do against guys like T.J. Warren, who I think is a better offensive player than defensive player. They're hoping P.J. Tucker can be ready, but, I mean, that could be a bit of a question mark as well. I think you're right. I think Rudy Gay would be a great FanDuel play the night, depending on how they start pricing him right off the bat to start the FanDuel season. So I think that that'll be an interesting play. I just think that there's too much dominance in the Suns' weak spots of their team. Like their wing position's soft. Their center position's a huge question mark with Tyson Chandler and Alex Len. Marquise Chris, I mean, will he get minutes? Dragan Bender, will he get minutes? All question marks there. So I have the Kings winning this one handily.
Outstanding. Let's move on to San Antonio, bro.
That's right. You brought it up. It's the very first game in the Golden One Center, and unfortunately, it's against a very tough opponent. So a win may be a question mark here. I cannot wait to hear what your answer is going to be, but it is against the San Antonio Spurs. They also went 4-2 throughout the preseason. They have guys like Kawhi Leonard, LaMarcus Aldridge, the brand-new addition of Pau Gasol. This team is legit. This team is arguably the second-best team in the Western Conference. This team is championship pedigree. This team is the Sacramento Kings to the test. Joe, what are your keys to the game?
My keys to the game are definitely going to be at the point guard spot. Ty Lawson, how can you handle Tony Parker? How can you move through him, around him, and just eat him alive? Secondary key would be DeMarcus Cousins against LaMarcus Aldridge. I think that DeMarcus has such an absolute killer move there where he's going to be able to just own Aldridge. I don't see Aldridge being able to slow him down. And then, Costa or Willie, depending who comes in, against Pau Gasol.
My key to the game is something very simple. Feed the ball to DeMarcus Cousins. I think that's where you're going to see the team dominate the most, is down the low post. Neither of Pau Gasol nor LaMarcus Aldridge can stop the boogeyman. The boogie train is in full effect against the San Antonio Spurs. And I think it's going to be – I think you brought up a good one. Who is going to be able to man up and take on a guy like Tony Parker? Is it going to be – you know, Garrett Temple, is it going to be Ty Lawson? How is he going to fare against that team? And I think that's a very interesting thing. But I think if the Kings want to win this game, I think the environment's going to be a key to this game, is being able to feed into the fans, feed into the six man, feed into the electricity that's going to be inside of that arena. But that's just hype talk there. And I think what really has to happen is a lot of give the ball to Marcus Cousins, run the game through to Marcus Cousins, and make Kawhi Leonard work. Make LaMarcus Aldridge work for every shot they're taking, because as easy as that sounds, that is actually something that I think is going to be a lot harder than a lot of people think is going to be. So I think that is my key to my couple keys to the game, actually. But Joe, what's your matchup of the game to watch?
Matchup of the game to watch, we already kind of hit on. It's DeMarcus against Aldridge. I don't think anybody in the league can stop DeMarcus, but I really think Aldridge is going to have a tough time.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Pau Gasol against DeMarcus Cousins, or LaMarcus Aldridge against DeMarcus Cousins. But since you took that one, I'll go with Willie Cauley-Stein against LaMarcus Aldridge. I think that is such a great matchup. Kawhi Leonard against Rudy Gobert is probably going to be something that everyone's like, why are you not turning to that one? It's because I think Kawhi Leonard owns Rudy Gay. I think that's what happened. That's why I don't talk about that matchup. Kawhi Leonard is one of my favorite players in the league. He's the best two-way player in the game today, right next to LeBron James. So that's why I'm not bringing up that matchup. I think watching Willie Cauley-Stein go up against a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge, and honestly, if Willie Cauley-Stein is true to what he's saying about how he's been working with Peja and how he's going to be developing that jumper, we saw a little bit of it through the preseason. That's the type of player that you can see him resembling into, but with better defensive stats, which would be very interesting to see. So that is going to be my matchup of the game. And now, Joe, let's help fans make some money. What is your FanDuel play of the night?
You know, I'm sticking with the same exact thing. FanDuel play of the night that night, DeMarcus Cousins. Yeah, he's going to cost a lot of money, but the big dog is going to eat against San Antonio. He is going to absolutely own, whether he's against Aldridge, whether against Pau Gasol, either way, the big dog is going to be down there, and he's going to get some rebounds. He's going to get some shots. He is going to be a beast that night.
My FanDuel play of the night, I think, is going to be something that actually wins you guys quite a bit of cha-ching. Yeah, and it's going to save you a lot of money as well. I'm going to go with Patty Mills as my FanDuel play of the night. And why do I keep going to all these value plays? Because the Sacramento Kings have been, you know, proven to show that they are bad at giving up the three-point shot. I don't think that's going to change overnight, so I cannot wait to see. And on top of that, against the Maccabi Haifa game, they were taking so many threes. Yes, some of them were contested, and they still went in, but Patty Mills is a shooter. You saw what he did in the Olympics. I think he is a great value play on Wednesday night. All right, Joe, let's give the people what they want. Who wins this one?
You know, it's the first game ever in the new Golden One Center. The sixth man is going to be so loud. He is going to affect the outcome of this game. But I still don't think it's going to be enough, and I think San Antonio wins by a couple.
I have the Sacramento Kings taking the W. I think that might have shocked you a little bit, but yeah, I have the Sacramento Kings getting the W. I think it's going to be one of the closest games of the season. I think it's going to be the most entertaining game of the season. I think still, with the talent that the Kings have, even with Ty Lawson at point guard, and I think you're going to see a lot more of Garrett Temple to attack the mismatch there with Tony Parker, this team has the potential to put, you know, the Spurs to the test, I think, especially in the – I mean, you got to think about it. The Kings, again, in home openers, the Kings in front of their fans play so much better than they do on the road. And that energy in that building is going to feel like the Charlotte game, but I think this is going to have a different outcome. And that, and I think that there'll be a game where people are going to say – either one, the Kings, oh, wow, the Kings are changing. They're amazing. Dave Yeager, praise him forever and things like that. But the Kings are going to get the W, Joe.
I hope you're right. I really do. I know how San Antonio plays basketball. And, you know, if I was ranking the entire NBA right now, I put them in the three spot. And so knowing that, it's hard to think that a Kings team who hasn't been able to beat them in the last, what, five appearances together, maybe more, you know, it's hard to get too excited just because of opening night. And hey, I want to, believe me, as a guy who's going to be there, he's going to be ringing the cowbell, is going to be getting crazy. But at the same time, I don't know. I can't justify saying there's a win because I had too much hope last year and it beat me up a little bit. So I'm trying to be a little bit more realistic this year, and I think they're going to lose. I think it'll be a close game. I think they'll be able to keep it close, but I don't see them winning.
All right. Well, now we're going to move on to the final game, and not only is this the final game, but this is also going to be our Game of the Week.
We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure.
All right, Joe. This is one of my favorite teams in the Western Conference, the most improved team that everyone is expecting to be, the most youthful team in the Western Conference, and they're the most intriguing team in the Western Conference, if I say so myself. And it is the Minnesota Timberwolves. They went 5-2 through the preseason. Karl Anthony Towns, the man is on a mission. The man is amazing. The shot blocking power forward slash center. Andrew Wiggins, Ricky Rubio, Zach LaVine. The list goes on with all of these young players, and they've added some solid veterans. But most of all, they too have a new head coach, and that is Tom Thibodeau. What are some of your keys to this game, Joe?
Well, because of the two new coaches, I'm going to say the matchup to watch is Tom Thibodeau against Dave Yeager. No, in all reality, I would say Zach LaVine is going to be able to play pretty rough against Aaron Aflalo. I think that's not going to go the Kings' way. I think Ty Lawson's going to have a really hard time with Ricky Rubio. But I think onto the bigger kids, Gay, Cousins, and Kufis, I think they're going to do very well. I think Karl Anthony Towns is still going to have a decent night, but I just don't think that he's going to be able to abuse Cousins the way he does most of the people in the league.
Oh, no, my key to the game is watch that matchup of Towns versus Cousins. That's becoming my new Anthony Davis versus DeMarcus Cousins. That is the matchup I want to see. And they're two like completely different players, but they're both the same as well. You know what I mean? This is like Chris Webber and Shaq. You know what I mean? Like this that match. Like they're different in the way that they play this game, but they control the game in such a dominating way that you just can't take your eyes off of them. So that is my key to the game. Do not take your eyes off the two centers. Joe, who is your FanDuel play of the night?
FanDuel play of the night. I am going to go with Zach LaVine. And again, the reason is I don't think Aflalo can guard him quite as well. And I think for a mid-priced player, even a mid-low-priced player, I think he's going to be able to just absolutely eat. I think he's going to be able to shoot all night. I think he's going to be able to move and basically at will around the court. And so unless they get somebody else out there to guard him, I think he's going to be the play of the night.
My FanDuel play of the night is actually going to be Gorgui Dieng. And yeah, it sucks that we're going away from the Sacramento Kings with a lot of our FanDuel picks. But I'm going to go with Gorgui Dieng because he's going to be a mid-level play on FanDuel. He gets you blocks, gets you a double-double for sure. He shoots three-pointers. Although that doesn't matter in FanDuel, the fact that he's going to be getting those points, I think, is going to be something important. But the blocks, the steals, the fact that he can get to the free throw line. And you know this about Tom Thibodeau, everyone does. He plays his starters a lot of minutes. And Gorgui Dieng is one of his starters. He's one of his better defenders. He's part of the youth movement. He's going to be on the floor quite a bit. I'm excited for it. I think he has to be in your lineup 100%. And now, Joe, for our game of the week, who do you have winning this one in a very competitive Timberwolves versus Kings matchup inside the Golden 1 Center?
Okay, for the second game ever in the Golden 1 Center, I think there's going to be a lot of fans who just simply couldn't afford to. It's going to be a packed house, let's just put it that way. And this time, I think the sixth man is going to do it. I think they are going to be able to pull it out, and I think the Kings are going to win this one very, very, very convincingly. Knowing that they have to go on the road for the next five games, they're going to put a lot of effort into this. They need to win this game. They have to win this game in the sense that if they go on the road 1-2, it's a lot different than going on the road 2-1. You got to get some confidence while you're at home before a long five-game stretch. So I think the Kings have to put the effort in. I know the fans are going to put the effort in because, again, people who couldn't afford the opening night tickets are going to be at that Minnesota game. And with those, you know, with those things in mind, there's no way the Kings don't pull this one out. Maybe not by as many as I see in my own mind, but they're certainly going to win the game. So, Vince, what are your thoughts?
This is actually a lot tougher for me than the Spurs game was, to be honest with you, because I'm so intrigued by this team. But I just don't think the Kings go 3-0 in their very first week. So I'm going to say after the excitement of playing on Wednesday night against the Spurs and getting that W, the almost two and a half days worth of rest before they face off against this team, I think might get to them. After their victory against the Spurs, I think they may be a little bit overhyped. I'm going to say they take the L. I'm going to say the Sacramento Kings lose this one, but it's going to be a very entertaining game.
I got my title back. I'm the most optimistic man in the world. All right. Kings beat Minnesota.
That's not true. We both have them going 2-3 this week.
2-1, bro.
Or 2-1 this week, sorry.
Two out of three. I got you. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Well, let me try that again. Well, we both have these guys going 2-1 this week, Joe.
I'm not editing that. You make me make mistakes and leave them.
That's fine. You can keep it.
That ain't coming out.
You can keep it. You guys can realize I'm human. I make mistakes.
Yeah, he is a human being. He doesn't think so in fantasy, but he is a human being. Auto draft.
My teams are amazing in fantasy. But all right, guys, that is our show. Before we wrap up, Joe, I know that there's actually something that happened last week that we have to address here on the show. And make sure that we follow through with some of our bets, right?
Okay, so on the show we had three things that people could vote on if one of us lost. And the rule on the show is if we all three lose, we have to change our Facebook profile pictures to say that we were, you know, incorrect.
And what were we losing? What were we losing?
We were wrong on the Clippers game. We all thought that the Kings would win that game. Every person in this studio thought, oh, the Kings are going to win. I said by 12. John Schifferle said by 6, and you said by 4. We were all wrong. So we're going to either hold up a photo or something of that nature that says, I was wrong, the Kings lost, and for the next 24 hours, that has to be our Facebook profile photo. So my question to you, Vince, is what time tomorrow do you want to post those?
As soon as I wake up and have time to go on the FB.
All right. Let's call it at 9 o'clock just to make sure that we can get Schifferle the word and get him on board. And all three of us are going to look like morons and hold our little sign that says we were wrong.
Well, he's going to have to do it on Twitter because he doesn't have a Facebook.
Okay. All right. Well, he can tweak and change his Twitter face then. That's fine. But, hey, we all got out of having to do something else. But I was really looking forward to seeing one of you guys sing or drink pickle juice or something. So this week, what are we betting on the game of the week?
No, there's no bets until after 10 games, Joe.
Oh, okay. See, I wasn't a part of the Kings Week segment back when you and Drew were doing that. Sorry, I was burping. Back when you and Drew were doing that. So I wasn't really sure when the bets came in. I thought every single week you guys made a bet. That'd be a lot more fun. But all right, we'll just do 10 games.
Let's do this. Let me clarify what Kings Week segment is, why we have the Kings Week segment. So we go over every single game throughout the week that's up and coming for the Sacramento Kings. And after 10 games, whoever has guessed the least amount of games correct, that person is going to be put to a bet that you guys vote on over the weekend so that we reveal on the next week's show. And that person has to follow through with that bet. Drew Rumberg has had to sing. Drew Rumberg has had a pie thrown in his face. Or no, sorry. Drew Rumberg's co-host when he first did the show by himself was a pie to his face. There's multiple different things that has had to happen on this show because of these bets. And we would love to get the feedback on what you guys start with things that Joe would have to do after this first 10 games.
I like how he says Joe. It's going to be you, bro. And actually, you know what? Before we end the Kings Week segment, I still have the right to change. It's like having your hand on a piece in chess.
No.
We haven't ended the segment yet. No. Haven't ended the segment.
We've ended the segment. We already ended the segment. Stop it.
No.
You think the Kings are going to lose to the Spurs? That's a good pick. All right. So, after
he needs
games,
us to be different on that so he can feel good, but that's all right. Go ahead.
All right. So, again, after 10 games, whoever has guessed the least amount of games correct, that person has to do a bet that you guys would vote on, whether it be a pie to face or anything it would be, drinking pickle juice, which is disgusting. It'd be all up to you guys. So we want to hear from you. Start sending in some of your guys' topics, like at VM Center, at Sac Sports Morgan, some bad bets that we should make these guys do. And by these guys, I mean Joe and John, whoever guests we get on this show.
Now, we've had a lot of change over the last year. You were just talking about Drew and his co-host. Then you came back on. You came back over from the other show. And then I came back over. And then Drew fell off because he got busy with new work. And we got another big change coming up. We went from daily, and now we're not doing daily again. We started it. We thought it was going to be something that we stuck with. And then something else big happened. So are you going to give some info or at least some guesses to the fans out there today?
Yeah, so I mean, we did the daily for a week, and honestly, that was my idea. I think that it was something that I honestly had so much fun doing it. I still think that's something that's going to be on the table later on, but this show is moving in a direction that I think is going to not only benefit the show, but it's going to benefit the listenership of the show, how you can find the show, and where it can be seen. And that's the biggest hint that I'll give. We're growing. And I want to say thank you to all the fans out there for who have stuck with us since the very beginning, who has been a fan of the show since the beginning. All the reviews you guys have left us, whether they be good, bad, and all the same, but most of them have all been great. And again, Joe and I want to thank you guys so much for being there for us and leaving these votes. But yes, we are no longer daily. However, we are bringing something back. Every single Friday night, no matter if there's a game on or not, we will be live, and we'll be doing that show, doing giveaways like we used to, taking your guys' phone calls, playing games, doing all the things that we used to do. That's Friday night. We'll be live on Mixlr. So if you haven't joined the Kings Court on Mixlr yet, go on Mixlr, app on your phone. You can listen to it on the computer. You can even just download the app. You can listen to it anywhere you are. It's live, or, of course, go ahead and subscribe to the show. But, yes, the show is moving, and the announcement can't be made yet because nothing has been finalized through certain situations. But something big is happening, guys, and it's happening in such a big way that I'm so excited that when we reveal it, it's going to be amazing. And I hope you guys stick with us through this change. I'm sorry that we teased you with the daily. Hopefully we can get back to it, but I promise you we are going live every single Friday. It's going to be something fun. I cannot wait to do. We'll have tons of giveaways. I just got a shipment in of stuff that we're going to be giving away over the weekend. So, yeah, that is the big news. Things are happening over here. We're going to start having a routine part of guests throughout the entire season, whether it be James Hamm, Aaron Brewski, Jason Jones. We're going to have you guys tuned in with this team. So, again, if you haven't done so already, hit subscribe to this show. Leave us a rating about what you like and dislike about the show. Just please don't say me. Joe, any of your final thoughts, and where can the fans find you online?
I just wanted to reiterate how much fun it used to be when we were live. That's how this show started. The birth of this show was live. We took phone calls. We gave gifts away. We had parties. We did fun stuff. And if you're enjoying us at all recorded, you are going to be through the roof when we're live, because we are so much more fun. We are so much more off the cuff. And, you know, it's just fun when you can call in and you can interact with us. And we want you in our chat board. We want you in our text messages, or our Twitter messages, rather, and our Facebook messages. We want you to interact with us and talk and tell us what you want to know and ask questions. And, man, that used to be so much fun, and I'm glad to be going back to it. I'm super, super excited about it. So,
yeah, so we've had Nancy Lieberman on the show live. We've had Jason Ross on live, Sudeikis Smith. Who else have we had? We've had
– well, and the fans got to ask a couple questions. In the chat room, people were asking Nancy Lieberman questions. That was great. It makes it so much more fun when we have a player on, or we have a coach on to talk to, and one of you, two of you, five of you, however many are in there – that actually ask a logical and concise question. I mean, we're not going to ask her dumb stuff, but, you know, if you ask a good question, we're going to ask it to her, and then you can hear your answers. And it makes it a lot more fun when people can interact and be a part of it. So it was a good time.
Yeah. So where can the fans find you online, Joe?
You can always find me at Sac Sports Morgan. You can find me riding around this town screaming like a maniac, because that's who I am. And that is all for today from me, brother.
And my final thoughts are Sacramento Kings basketball, baby! And I also projected more wins than my co-host Joe Morgan over there. So you guys can find me on all social media platforms of at VM Center. Again, go check out BrickHouseIndustries.com. Use promo code KingsCourt for a 10% discount. Shout out to our sponsor, FanDuel. Everyone go on SackKingsNation.com. Scroll down to the bottom. Click on that FanDuel link so you guys sign up and join them from us. If you guys have not bookmarked SackKingsNation.com yet, I don't know why. Go on SackKingsNation.com. Bookmark the site for all of your in-depth coverage of the Sacramento Kings. Subscribe to the show. Leave us a rating. And until next time, bye-bye.
Cabela's is coming to Northern Virginia with a spectacular new store in Gainesville. Find everything you need for hunting, fishing, camping, and shooting sports, plus much more. Join us for our grand opening celebration Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m. Be one of the first 500 in line and receive a Cabela's gift card worth up to $500, plus a chance to win one of three Remington firearms. See store for details. Don't miss Cabela's grand opening in Gainesville, located off I-66 and Highway 29 near Virginia Gateway.